If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to read verses 23 through 31. Would you stand with me? If you have a King James Bible, would you read along? I'll read the first verse and then you read the second and so on through the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That no flesh should glory in his presence.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption.
That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. God, that you pay attention to us. You love us. I don't understand it, but God, I'm thankful.
Amen.
I pray you'd bless me and give me freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. May your Holy Spirit take the word and apply it to each of our hearts and minds. Would you change some lives today? Lift some of us above our manner of life. Let us serve you better. Let us walk in your presence. Give me freedom. Give us help. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. Christ crucified. I don't know where you thought about that much. That's what we preach. That's what Paul's saying here. We preach Christ crucified. We don't preach that you got to be good to get to heaven because none of us are good.
Amen.
I know some of you think you are, but you're really not. You're fooling yourself. At any rate, we preach Christ crucified. Why was Christ crucified? He was crucified as a sinner. He was crucified by the Roman government. He was crucified because he was delivered over by the Jews to the Romans and they demanded that it be done. But I want you to know he didn't have to be crucified. You see, he could have called 10,000 angels. Have you ever thought what one angel can do? In the Old Testament, one angel is called in and 185,000 men woke up dead men next day. Isn't that an interesting thought? One angel came down and 185,000 soldiers were wiped out. If he called 10,000 angels, he could have wiped out the whole earth. He could have done what he wanted to do. He gave his life according to the will of God to die in mankind's place.
Thank you, Lord.
God hates sin.
Amen.
And God doesn't want to have it around eternity. He wants to get rid of it. You know, I sort of like that. I sort of like that this body would just disappear. And I'd have a new one that didn't have any sin,
Amen.
Didn't have any problems, a lot of things. That's what I'm looking forward to. Well, that's why Christ crucified makes a difference. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. One of them, after bad-mouthing him for probably the first while, turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus made a tremendous statement. Wow. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You think about that. What an offering there. You know what that means? That means I can go into any prison, to any murderer or rapist or child molester and tell him, if you'll repent of your sins, Jesus Christ can save your soul. That means I can go to the President of the United States and tell him, sir, if you will repent of your sins, Jesus will save your soul and forgive you. I've got a message for everybody. And what is it? It's Christ crucified. Most churches, many of them today, are going about how you are good, or you're supposed to be good. You want to be good. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Not so. Not so. You know, the problem with some of us is we're so good. We think we're so good, we don't need Jesus. I've actually talked to people. I've been witnessing 59 years. I've actually talked to people that say, I am all right now. I don't need Christ crucified. I don't need any help. I don't need someone else to pay my debt. I've seen people that I know, sweet, fine people, that turned Jesus down right down to their last day and died, and I have no hope that they'll ever be in heaven. Because they didn't need Christ crucified. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He took your sin.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You're not that good. By the way, you're not that smart.
Amen.
You know something? I am so thankful Jesus Christ was crucified in my place. In Adam all die. You understand that? By being born a human being, you have a future of death. In Adam all die. But in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for all mankind, the one perfect man, we have one man perfect dying for all of us sinners. Wow, what a message. It's a message worth taking around the world. Missions is worth supporting if you've got missionaries that are preachers. If you've got missionaries that are witnesses. If you've got missionaries that build churches. We don't need a whole lot of work. There's a lot of garbage done today in the name of Christianity. And many people think it's great stuff because of what they're looking at and the salesmanship of maybe the people who are doing it. But let me tell you something. We need people preaching the gospel. We need people carrying the Bible. I have a really simple job once I learn what this Bible has to say. It's to read it, believe it. It's to understand it. It's to explain it. And then it's to apply it. That's really my job. My job is preach the Word. Preach the Word. I don't have to be pretty. I don't have to be fancy. I don't have to be super smart. I don't have to be an entertainer, I just have to be a teacher. A teacher who has some preach in him, and a preacher who has some teach in him. And boy, what a blessing. Christ crucified. You know, I've been doing this 59 years. I remember a 20-year-old young man getting saved, and my whole mind just turned around. Things were new. I felt forgiven. I felt the load of my sin had passed away. Christ crucified. And you know what? I've not been preaching my righteousness. I have not been preaching my perfection. I have not been preaching my goodness. And you better not be preaching yours. When you walk into the presence of God, what you don't want to do is stand on your own laurels. You don't want to go there. I've heard people say, I'm going to tell, you know. I'm going to. You know, most people above 40 are conservative. You know why? They've lived long enough to have some of their sins come back on them. They've lived long enough to see what you sow, you reap, And it comes back on to you, and it turns them a little more conservative.
Amen.
There's a book written by a man named Sam Levinson, which was a Jew that grew up in the Brooklyn area, in the shanties, in the tenements. And that family had 8 children. He said, everything but money. They had everything but money. He wrote a book, beautiful book. In it, he tells about his daddy talking to him as a teenager. And his daddy said, son, I really don't care what you think about me now. Teenagers, you feel that way? No, you want to be important. You want mom and dad to listen to you. You want adults to listen to you. You want us to think you're really smart. His daddy told him, says, I don't care what you think of me now. I care about what you'll think of me 20 years from now. Because if you let me have my way, you let me do everything that I want to do, you'll come back at 40 and say, Dad, I was a kid. You shouldn't have let me have my way. Shouldn't have done this. I wouldn't suffer these things without that. That's intelligence. That's common sense. That's experience. Wow. You know, says we preach Christ crucified. Well, what's the response to it? Verse 23, under the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Under the Greeks, foolishness. Well, now the Jews were very religious people. They believed they could keep the law. They testified that they kept the law several times. I have a problem with that because every time I read that law, I just see conviction. Every time I read that law, I see myself, I'm a sinner. I broke that. Well, okay, let's go to the New Testament. What did Jesus say? The law is in 2 commandments. What's the first? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, strength. Do you do that? Not a single day in your life. That's the example. That's righteousness. Love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What about the second one? Something like it. He says, all the law is in these 2 commandments. All the law. Take the whole Old Testament. Take everything in there. Every little offering or sacrifice or whatever. It's contained in these 2 things. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. You know what? I fall short. Amen. I bought me a car recently. I didn't buy my neighbor one. I didn't buy you one. Isn't it amazing how selfish we are?
Amen.
It really is. You know what he said here? This was to the Jews a stumbling block because he was telling them things they had a hard time accepting. They wanted a political leader to come here and deliver them from the Romans. And that's what they were looking for, another David to fight their battles for them. And this is supposed to be the son of David coming. He said, no, I'm coming with a different deliverance. I'm coming with a different righteousness. I'm coming with a different goal. What's my goal? I want to wipe out sin. I want to wipe out death. I want to wipe out the wickedness in this old world. I want to save souls.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. It was a stumbling block. These Jews thought, no, 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 this can't be. Many of them followed him. Many of them rejected him. But what about the Gentiles, the Greeks? Foolishness. It's stupidity. It's religion. It's foolishness. You know what I found? I found that modern Christians think a lot of the Bible is foolishness. That's a shame. Well, let me tell you something. Do you think you're smarter than God when it comes to raising children? Do you think a modern psychologist and psychiatrist and book writers are smarter than God when it comes to raising children? I don't think so. You know what? I came to the place. I came to the place where I had a guide. This book. Right there's an old book. Transformed the World. First book written on a press. It was a Gutenberg Bible. Wow. Changed the world. Everywhere it goes, it changes things. Foolishness? Your foolishness. You know, I go into the grocery store and I'll see these mamas with some little kids running around. And the mama's saying, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to spank you. I'm going to spank you. And I say, please hit him one time. Amen. Please, please hit him two or three times. I was in a pastor's house one time, back when I was a young preacher going to college. He was talking to me about a revival. And he had a little boy. And little boy, I was in a suit, tied, all dressed up as I used to be. And this little boy's crawling all over me. He's just crawling all over me. And the daddy's told him, get down, get down, get down, get down. And finally the daddy reached over to get him, to give him a little sweat on his diaper. And his wife ran to him, don't you touch that child. He wasn't fit to be a preacher. She shouldn't have been bossing him. Do you think that God has some better ideas than you? Let me tell you what, if you don't get control of your kid when he's 3 or 4, you're not going to handle him when he's a teenager. Oh, you got it coming. You think you're smarter than God? Why don't you read what God says? Bernie and I decided we didn't know what we were doing.
Amen.
We were in an experiment. We were 2 kids making love, having fun. Wow, wonderful thing. And here's this little baby. What are we doing with it? I was the baby of the baby. She was the baby of the baby. And we married each other. We didn't know how to raise kids. Well, we finally came to and said, well, let's just study the Bible. See what the Bible says. I married a women's liber. Boy, she was a fighter. And she become convinced that the Bible was right. I became convinced the Bible was right. She became convinced the Bible was right. So we said, okay, how does God say raise your kids? He says, put the wood where it'll do the most good. You need it. Don't deny it. You're not hurting your child. If you don't discipline that child, if you don't bring that child into obedience, you are hurting your child.
That's right.
I believe that if you can pick this out, find out what God says anywhere similar to what your situation is, you got your answer. Someone says, well, we don't have any books. Well, there's plenty of books. Most of them are wrong. We got one book that's right. If you'll follow that book on everything you can find it relates to, you just might have the right answer. The Word of God. Foolishness? No. This is more modern than tomorrow's newspaper.
Amen. Amen.
Bible's not foolishness.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, it's got all these stories and all these things back. You know what God is doing? He's revealing himself to you. If you have an interest, trouble is, a lot of you don't have enough interest.
Amen.
You don't care what God thinks.
Amen.
You don't care what God's like. You're not ready to go to the judgment yet. You're not ready to face him. You're not old. And let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you're going to face him. And he said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account on the day of judgment. If the idle words are going to be judged, what about your purposeful words? Oh, listen to me. We have some truth. And what you need to know is God. I've been 59 years learning about God. Got to read it a bunch of times. Some of you don't read that much. Well, you ought to be reading some. You ought to be getting some of it. You need to know what God is like. Now, he's God. What are you going to do if he's a bad God? Nothing. Not a thing you can do. You can thumb your nose at him if you want to. You can cuss him out. You can tell all the things. What are you going to do with God? Or the name, the word, the explanation of the word God doesn't even have a meaning. He does anything. You're not even in his class. You're not in his category. You can't stand up to God. Sort of like these politicians. They're promising you everything they're going to do. They can't do any of it. There's a bunch of other people we have up there. I think they're called representatives. Congressmen, senators. And you got to get them all together to a certain portion before you get anything done. But when God tells you he can do something, he can do it.
Amen.
Foolishness? No, I would say if you ignore God, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. I know when you're young, you can't help but think you're the smartest thing around. It's just natural. You think you're smart. You think you're pretty. You think you're attractive. You think you're the best. You think you're whatever. You got a good opinion of yourself many times. Of course, some people don't, but a lot of us do. And it takes us a while to come through our life to realize, wait a minute, I can't do everything I want to do.
Amen.
I can't be everything I want to be. And I sure don't know everything I ought to know.
Amen.
And just maybe that old mother or daddy that you got around might know a little bit more than you. Just might. Just might. I had a neighbor. When I got out of the Air Force, I went to Howard Payne to go to college. It was a Southern Baptist school for preachers. It was a regular college. Still going. It's Howard Payne College then. It's Howard Payne University now. Must have gotten bigger since it got to be a university. But I went there. And I moved next door to a man 76 years old named Jess Marlin. I was 23, something like that. He was 76. I don't believe he ever called me by my name. I believe he called me boy the whole time I knew him. Some of the things, I make some statements that some people say are really hard translating for me when I'm preaching in a foreign language, you know. Up the creek without a paddle and all this stuff like this, you know. His saying, he said it several times, I don't know how many times, too soon old, too late smart. Too soon old, too late smart. I moved into Blanket, Texas, about 350 people next door to the town atheist. That was Jess Marlin. 76-year-old atheist. Go to every revival meeting. Go to every time there's a preacher around. Go to... He would go out, and when I preached all over the country in those days, I wasn't pastoring a particular church at a time, and he would go with me. We became friends. His wife died a month after we moved in there. Her nightgown, caught on fire from the fireplace, and she burned up and she died. So Verlene would be very sympathetic to him, and she would invite him over to eat with us. And so we were just good friends, but he always called me boy, boy, boy. And I didn't mind. I'm not sensitive that way. But he was lost. I witnessed him for 2 years. I remember getting up in the morning, getting ready to go to school, college in Brownwood, which was about 15 miles away. I'm looking out the door, and I thought in my head, did Jess go to hell last night? Did Jess go to hell last night? And I looked out there, and he was feeding his chickens. I said, I got one more shot. I went over and told him, I said, Jess, it's a wonderful day. You know why? He said, no, why, boy? I said, because you didn't die and go to hell last night. You need to get saved, Jess. You need to get saved. He said, oh boy, you're going to go crazy reading that black back book. When I die, I'll be like that mule. I said, no, that mule doesn't have a soul going to heaven or hell. You do. Well, to make a long story short, he got saved after that 2 years. Had a little old lady. She came to me when I first month or two I was in there. I lived there 2 years. About the first month or two, she says, I have been praying for Jess Marlin for so many years. His wife, who was saved, had been praying for him for all of their marriage. And she said, God sent you here to win Jess Marlin to the Lord. He got saved.
Amen.
I would get, up until he was at the age of about 81, I would get a note, said, still giving him a testimony, boy. Still giving my testimony. Let me tell you something. There's some things more important than you.
Amen.
Something more important than you and what you want and what you think. And let me tell you one of the most important things. It's what God thinks.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what your mother thinks. It doesn't matter what your dad thinks. It doesn't matter what your cousins think. It doesn't matter what your boss thinks. It matters what God thinks. How are you going to know about God if you don't decide to seek Him? To find out what His will is. It's not my will. It's God's will.
Amen.
You need to know it.
Amen. Amen.
You know what? We don't spend a lot of time doing that, do we? Now, it says to the lost, he's either a stumbling block or foolishness. But that verse there says, to the saved, to the called of God, he's the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
I don't have any hope outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No hope. If Jesus does not pay for my sins, they'll never be paid for. If Jesus does not save my soul, it'll never get saved. If Jesus does not forgive me, they'll never be forgiven. If He doesn't woo me and draw me and court me and love me and He did. He did. I was not seeking God. He broke in on my mind. I did not change myself. I was changed from the inside out. It's not a matter of getting a religion and doing certain things. It's a matter of repenting of your sins and taking Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
He's the wisdom of God. How would you like wisdom? That's pretty good stuff. Have you ever thought, I don't have enough wisdom?
Amen.
You ever come up with a problem with your children or in your marriage or in your work or in your personal life and you come to the point to say, I don't have enough wisdom? I have. How about the power of God? You know something? We're pretty weak. Even the strongest of us are pretty weak. God gave me a pretty strong body, and it's resisted diabetes, heart trouble, being fat. By the way, this is solid muscle with a comfortable cover of fat. Protecting. The power of God? I've seen some things that the power of God can do.
Yes, amen.
You need the power of God in your life. You ought to make God your best friend.
Amen.
Instead of acting like you don't want Him messing with your life, you don't want Him telling you how to have a marriage, you don't want Him telling you how to raise children, you don't want Him telling you how to order your life, you think you can do a better job? Take a look around you. Look at your stars. Look at your rich people. Look at the people that have everything in the world. They don't have happiness. They're miserable. They're bored to death and they're miserable. You need the power of God upon your life. You need to find out about God. Why don't
Amen.
You spend a little more time doing it?
Amen.
You know what it says? Look at verse 27. This is interesting. You need to learn about God. God is, does not think like you think. Look what he says here. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not. Are you a zero? You might get chosen. To bring to naught, to bring to nothing things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What is it telling you? God has chosen the foolish. Praise God, I must have been foolish. God chose the zeros. Praise God, I must have been a zero. God has chosen something so that nobody could glory in his presence. Now let me tell you something. Salvation is free. Amen. You do not buy it. You cannot pay it back. You do not have the opportunity to please God, to satisfy him, to pay for your salvation in any way. If salvation depends upon any effort of you, you're lost. Amen. You don't stand a chance. It's all of God. And it's a free gift.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God that he could give us such a thing like that. What a blessing. He chose the zeros so that no flesh should go in his presence. There's not going to be anybody in heaven say, well, I got here because I did this or this or this. And my friends over here, they didn't make it because. No, that's not going to happen in heaven. Not going to happen at all. Nobody going to glory except in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why don't you get started now?
Amen.
Why don't you start praising Jesus Christ? I think I may preach on praise one of these days. Why don't you start praising Jesus Christ? Quit praising yourself. Amen. Quit bragging on yourself. Quit pushing yourself. Why don't you look up and say, man, I am the recipient of the grace of God, and God in his beauty, his glory, his power, he saved me, he changed me, he made me fit for heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
All is a gift. Wow. Base things of the world. No flesh should glory in his presence. But look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who unto God is made unto us. And notice this. You think you're smart? I don't think you're smart. Hey, I had a lot of time teaching kids in school. Some of the smartest kids you'd ever want to meet, but they're not smart. Neither are you. Neither am I. We think way too much of our own intelligence. We think way too much of our own worth. We're not humble as we ought to be. I would rather have Jesus Christ to be my wisdom. There's a winner. Jesus Christ, he's my wisdom. Jesus Christ has made unto me wisdom. Wow. How about righteousness? You got any righteousness? You'll say, oh my goodness. And I'd have to say, you don't have any. Do you? Your goodness is like filthy rags.
Amen.
The Bible says. I want my righteousness to be Jesus Christ. How about sanctification? That means separate, apart, specially chosen, specially used. By God, sanctified. Christ is my sanctification. Look at this. How about redemption?
Amen.
That's buying back.
Amen.
You owe a lot.
Yes.
There was a burden of sin on my back today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm still a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner.
Amen.
I'm still a sinner, but Jesus is my wisdom, and Jesus is my righteousness, and he's my sanctification. Praise God. I tell you what. I want Christ crucified. That's my salvation. Why? He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Look, if you will, at Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Turn to it, if you will. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, dog-ear the page or something. I'll tell you something. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, so we can glory in the Lord. Now notice what these verses say. Just think about them as we read them. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
That's Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. You know what that says? God can be found. Wow. How about that for a truth? I'll tell you a truth you can bank on. God can be found. You can find him. In fact, he commands you to find him. Isn't that what that says? Seek you the Lord. God commands you to find him. He can be found. He's not off so far that you can't reach him. He can be found. He commands you to seek him. He wants to control your life. He wants to control your heart. Let me tell you what. If God gets in control, you're going to be happier than you ever were before.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't care what you have to give up. God can be found. You can find him. God commands you to find him. And look at Psalm 51:17. Psalm 51:17. This is David repenting over his sin of adultery and murder. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What's God looking for? He's not looking for your money. He doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can do all he wants to anytime. God is not in need of you. You are in need of God. You know something? He wants a broken heart. He'd like you to repent of your rebellion against him. You know, God's right, you're wrong.
Amen.
Won't you figure it out? If you don't, you're going to cause yourself a lot of pain in life. You're not going to have a happy life. You're not going to have this joy. You think you can, you can't. He's looking for a broken heart. A contrite heart, a spirit that says, I need God. God doesn't need me. I need God. He said, seek you the Lord while he may be found. He can be found right now. He can be found today. Some of you need to repent and get your marriage right. Some of you need to repent and just get your morality right. Some of you need to turn off the computer, or turn off the television, or quit buying the books. This is a wicked world we're living in. There's temptations that I did not have as a young person, and I was a pretty wild young man. But right down today, the young people that are out there, you need to pray for them. And you need to watch yourself. Broken and a contrite spirit. Wow. Has God ever broke you? Are you broken? Well, you need to be. God is revealing himself to you. I've spent 59 years learning about God. Oh, I don't know a whole lot. I'm going to be surprised. It's going to be so wonderful when I see God. God has blessed my life so many ways. I'm rich. I am rich beyond imagination in knowing God. Why don't you seek God today? Why don't you just get on your knees, humble your proud heart, Turn your life over to Him. If you're not saved, get saved today. He'll save you. If that old thief on the cross that never did anything any good, never got a chance to witness or be baptized, if he would say that today thou shalt be with me in paradise, what would he do for you? He'd give you that same salvation. That's exactly why it's in the Bible. It's the greatest example of salvation without any merits, salvation without any works, salvation without any payback. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. Salvation is free. My friend, you need to repent of your sin. You need to humble yourself. You need to put your marriage on a Bible basis. You need to put your life on a Bible basis. You need to put your children and your raising your children on a Bible basis. Or you're going to lose. How about changing today? How about making up your mind? Yes, can I go today? Yes, you can. Just as simple as getting married. Can you get married? Well, of course you can. God says yes, and if you say yes, you can get married. God says yes about salvation. If you say yes, God says yes about your marriage. I'd love for you to have a beautiful... You know, there's only two things God really instituted. Marriage and the church. Nothing else. Nothing else. Why don't you seek God in those two things? Why don't you seek God for salvation today? Seek God in your marriage today. Let Him have His way. Let's turn to number 207.